MSing About Productions presents MSing About, a podcast about nothing in a room full of echoes, perhaps, because we're back in my kitchen because it's a scorcher out there, and to record with the carpet around us would be unbearable without the air conditioning.
Yes, it's an unair-conditioned room, isn't it?
It is.
It does get quite warm.
That's Katrina Christensen.
Hello!
Yes, and she's a singer and a pianist and a carer and a train driver. And she was born in 1972 because recently you told me you were a 72er. And you were born into a country that was totally corrupt, I put to you.
Oh, really?
I will.
Who was in office?
I will
at the time?
Put it to you, Your Honour. But before I submit evidence to support the proposition, Your Honour.
I cannot confirm or deny.
Oh, no, before I present the evidence to you.
Yes.
A word about Solid Sleep, Australia's number one manufacturer of adjustable beds. You can check them out at
www.solidsleep.com.au.
Well, thank you, Katrina.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Well, there you go. Now, when you said you were a 72, I started thinking about what was I doing in 1972. I know you think I'm an old person.
Well, you are old.
But I know it's 50-something years ago, but it seems like yesterday.
Well, how old were you in 1972?
I was 18.
You were 18?
Yeah, I was 18.
Oh, my word. And in the prime of your life.
I was a criminal.
What?
I became a criminal that year.
How?
Because I discovered illegal gambling clubs.
Oh.
And I used to go to them. Therefore, I was a criminal.
What did you play? Tour?
I played... No, I didn't. I played blackjack and roulette. I went to the Bridge Club in Double Bay, 33 Club in Oxford Street, the Goulburn Club in Goulburn Street, the Kellett Club in King's Cross, and my favourite was the Forbes Club in Woolloomooloo.
Well, funny, I was actually in the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Probably two.
They have a casino
there.
They
do. It's called the Star Casino.
But it's legal. That wasn't legal.
No, but I walked in and, I don't know, all the flashing machines and
everyone
sitting there and just putting money in and losing it. And I got a bit depressed with it all and thought, no, I'll leave. So I didn't part with any of my money.
Can I take you for a little wander?
Oh, please do.
Through
Memory
the
Lane?
Forbes Club. Forbes Club.
Oh, yes.
You've been inside a terrace house where you've got two bedrooms up and two rooms down, two rooms up. And this was in Woolloomooloo, and they'd knocked the walls out. So downstairs, you walked in where you normally have a lounge room and a front room, and that had baccarat and roulette, and upstairs where the bedrooms would have been, they had blackjack. And they gave free food and free alcohol and free cigarettes, and they had glamorous hostesses running around in skimpy outfits giving you toasted Sambos. And I didn't know they played up with the high rollers later in the night.
Oh.
They doubled up as an escort. I didn't know about that.
Multitasking.
And it was the place to be, and there were showbiz personalities and politicians, and boxers worked as the doormen, so no one ever got into a fight.
Gosh, what an era.
It was fabulous. And when you walked in, there was a... What do you call it? Tennis umpire's seat. You know the thing they umpire in? They climb up into it to watch the game.
Yeah.
And Per Scalia, the owner, used to sit up in it
and observe
what was happening in his club.
Now, they do that with cameras now.
Yeah. Mm. But little Purse was suntanned. He had whitish grey hair and tailored suits and the shiniest tailored shoes. And it was just... Flashes a rat with a gold tooth purse.
So dapper.
Very dapper. And I used to go because I used to smoke, that was free. I used to drink scotch, that was free. And if you'd lost all your money, you'd go to the cashier and say, I just lost all my money, and they'd offer you a cab fare.
Oh.
And I lived at Newport, which was a long way out of the city, so it was about a $50 cab ride. And that's how much I'd take along to lose, because if I lost, I won.
Right, yes, true.
But whenever I went and said, only a couple of times happened, I said, I've done all my money. And the cashier would look up at Purse, and Purse would nod because he watched me lose all my money. Purse was very, very good, and he was very good at laundering money.
Right, how did he do that?
Well, he owned racehorses.
Right.
So if he had a big win on the races in his pocket, he probably lost more than he won, but he said he won a lot.
Oh, Okay. Yep.
And he did win, what was the one, the Rose Hill Slipper or something, in a horse called, on a horse called Eskimo Prince. And he won about £30,000, and he threw notes into the crowd, and there was a riot. He just stood on the balcony of the members' stand and got, just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
Now, the other laundry he had, he won the lottery a couple of times. Dead lucky.
Wow.
Yeah, he won a $200,000 lottery. What he'd do, they used to publish the names of who won the lottery.
They did.
So a person would go around and offer them 10% more for the ticket.
Yes.
So they got $220,000. He got to launder $200,000 and in effect paid 10% tax. Yeah. And the Bridge Club, which was his other one, the profit was around $16,000 a week, and $5,000 went to the cops in bribes.
Ooh.
And I was in Performers Club twice. Once when he said, from his little tennis chair announced, rang a little bell and said, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be a raid on the premises tonight by the police at 20 past 11. If you don't want to be here, I suggest you leave before then. But if you are still here, just give a false name and I'll pay you bail. Clink. And occasionally there'd be a tap at the front window and an envelope would be passed out to an officer. Now, there was a premier called Sir Robert Askin.
Yeah, right.
And he apparently was on $100,000 a year from Perth.
Wow. Premier of what state?
New South Wales,
sorry.
And he changed his name from Robin to Robert because he gave himself a knighthood and it sounded better, Sir Robert Askin. And I looked it up, and he was on about $24,000 a year as premier.
Yeah.
How did he die and have $2 million in his estate and $3 million in his wife's estate? He said it was through wise investing and lucky punting. And also, well, you would know the name Abe Saffron. He was Mr. Sin in Sydney.
Okay.
And according to Abe's son, Saffron paid Robert Askin $5,000 to $10,000 a week to turn a blind eye.
Right.
And I used to get a bus past his little motel, CD motel called Lodge 44, where he rented rooms out by the hour, prostitution. Mm. He was involved in the disappearance of Juanita Nielsen and the Luna Park fire in 1979, where 7 people perished on a ghost train.
Oh, goodness.
He was a nasty bit of gear, not like Perce. Perce was sort of lovely, except Bruce Kallir, his son, wasn't that lovely.
Oh, okay.
There's a rumour that he had his wife killed.
Ooh.
She went to Los Angeles, I think it was, and there was a knock on her hotel door. I opened it up, she had her throat slashed, and her jewellery stolen and all of that stuff and everything like cash or whatever, but they didn't find $6,000 that she had hidden in the freezer. But the rumour was back in that day they'd fly an American out to do a hit job and put that person on the phone before the on the plane back before the body was found. But the rumour was that Bruce actually paid someone over there to take care of her on while she was on a shopping holiday.
Mm.
Anyway, that's just a rumour. I'm not going to spread that, but Bruce is dead now, so he can't get me. And no, but the police commissioners too, they paid for overseas travel with him, with a girlie, with a mistress. Oh, yeah, it was all correct. Now, what is his name? Neville Rand came in after Robert Askin.
Yes.
There's no.
Cleaned it all up.
Oh, I'm sure he did, but he had $40 million in his estate when he died.
Oh, my
$40
word.
Million. So I'm not saying anything.
No, you don't need to say anything at all. No, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, and used to go to the races. There was a colourful racing identity called George Freeman. There was another one called Lenny McPherson.
Yes.
Mr. Big, his nickname was.
Yes.
Here's a little bit about Lenny.
Okay.
On his estranged mother's 70th birthday, he turned up at her flat with a live rabbit and said, "Why didn't you invite me to your birthday?" And she said, "Because you're a criminal, Lenny." So he ripped the head off the live rabbit and left the twitching body at her feet.
Oh, my word.
Oh, awful.
What a sick bastard.
Yeah, Lionel Murphy, he was the Attorney General. He was corrupt. Well, he was charged with perverting the course of justice, but he got away with it because he died of cancer. Life can be handy like that.
Yes.
There was a brothel owner by the name of Joe Borg.
Okay.
And when we came back to boarding school, we got off the train, got a taxi to our school, and every taxi driver took you up Chapel Street just to show you the hookers sitting in the doorways and stuff.
Wow.
But apparently it never existed, according to Sir Robert Askin. Anyway, Joe Borg owned these brothels, and they wired up his car, and he got into his car in Bondi, and it was blown up. Boom.
Is this all happening in 1972?
Yep, around then. Dennis Wong, he owned Whiskey A Go-Go and King's Cross.
Oh, yes, I do remember.
Well, no, not the one in Brisbane, the one in Sydney. And it was the place for US soldiers on R&R during the Vietnam War.
Right.
And I looked it up. 300,000 weeks of R&R in Sydney. That's millions of dollars in the economy. And he owned Checkers, which was a 24-hour bar, the Mandarin Club. Oh, yeah, but he might have been straight, I don't know, but the Whiskey A Go-Go you're thinking of had a fire.
Yes.
It was in Brisbane.
That was in Brisbane.
In Fortitude Valley, and 15 people died. That would have been around that time.
Wow.
50 years ago, I reckon.
Yeah, okay.
And singer of Queensland, do you remember Russ Hinds?
I do.
He was the Minister for Racing.
Yes.
And he owned 167 horses. And he argued that as Minister for Racing, you needed experience in that area. And he was going to trial for accepting more than $500,000 in bribes, but he got off. You know how?
How?
He died of brow cancer.
There you go. Okay.
There you go.
Use a Rolodor. That's what it's for. You'll get much more with the Rolodor. 149 sizes, each is custom made. Do not be afraid. They're virtually wear-out proof and windproof and waterproof as well. Dependable as a clock, the door with a centrally lock. From Rolodor, they're in the pink pages. You'll get much more with Rolodor.
Get a garage first.
Now, I've just had a thought.
Yes, fire away.
About another really semi-criminal, I don't know whether you call him a criminal, from 1972. Ooh. I met him in 1972. A guy by the name of Tim Bristow. He did time in Berrima Jail, so I suppose he's a criminal. Do you remember a singlet called Chesty Bond?
I do.
He was the original model for the Chesty Bond. He was a well-built fella.
Okay, okay.
And he dated a woman called Sonia Hopkins.
Right.
Who later became Lady Sonia McMahon.
Oh.
And he dated a woman by the name of Maggie Tabara.
Wow.
Who he said had the best boobs of any girl he'd ever been with. And in 1972, I turned up in the northern beaches in the little suburb of Newport, and my housemate and I went and tried out for the Newport rugby team. And it was coached by Tim Bristow.
Okay.
And I only lasted that one night. My little housemate, he went on to play first grade for the Warringah Rats on the wing. But, see, Tim had been barred from rugby for life.
Oh, wow.
For over-vigorous play.
Oh.
He knocked out 8 members of the opposing team.
Oh, so not just high tackles. We were talking right or left.
Well, his job, he had 2 jobs. One was before they had no-frills divorce. We can get divorced now just by being separated from someone.
All right.
Back then you had to show cause. So he was kicking about 8 doors in a night to photograph people in bed with someone else so there was a reason for divorce. That was a big job, private detective.
Wow.
And he kicked the door in once of Mike Willacy. Do you remember him?
Oh, I do.
And Mike went, oh, you got me. You might as well stay for a champagne. Anyway, that was one of Tim's jobs. The other one was a bouncer at the Newport Arms.
Sorry, but I just want to know what the job title for that would be.
I have no
idea.
Door
kicker.
It was a private detective was the actual thing.
Oh, PI, right. Yeah,
and he was a bouncer at the Newport Arms, and he had such a reputation.
Yeah.
Every weekend, people would come from the western suburbs from miles around to take on Tim, and he never lost.
Wow.
And you can... So this night was the only night I tried out because he introduced a few things like how to gouge eyes in a tackle and all those sorts of things. And I was going to play for the fun of passing the ball and not hurting people. But his son, can't remember his son's name, went to a private school called King's and was put into the first 15.
Right.
Coached by radio announcer Alan Jones, who was teacher at the time.
Yes.
And during one afternoon's training, Tim drove onto the oval in his Mercedes, pulled up, and Alan said, "Well, how can I help you?" He said, "You can shut up. I want to talk to the team." And he taught them how to break fingers in a tackle, how to gouge eyes, do things like that. Got back in the car and left, and Alan went, "Just forget everything you heard, please." Oh, he was known as a hard man. Now, when he went... Yeah, well, he lived in the same street as us. He had a tennis court.
Oh, right.
And rumour was that there were a few bones in when that tennis court was put in. Because quite often, apparently, Tim would go fishing. 3 men would go out and only 2 would come back. And sometimes when he went fishing, he'd bring back a shark.
Oh, my word.
And he'd drop that into the swimming pool at the Royal Motor Yacht Club or the Bill Golder Beach swimming pool just to give people the shit.
Oh, my word. But the fish wouldn't survive in the pool.
They did, well, the saltwater pool at Bill Golder they did because
okay.
It was...
Yeah, it had to be saltwater.
Yeah, and
he's a
shinster,
wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah, not too.
And my friend Jeff, I've told you about my friend Jeff.
Yes.
In Sydney, he was once in a bank in a queue behind Tim.
Yeah.
And Tim stepped backwards onto Jeff's foot. And Jeff said, "Excuse me, Mr. Bristow, my foot has slipped underneath yours." Oh, he had everyone scared.
Oh, my word.
Yep, so...
So what happened to him?
I think he got Parkinson's and died, but geez, he was he used to throw people off building sites and things, and...
Oh, my goodness.
I think he was caught. You know, we're talking about a corrupt country. He was at Chatswood Police Station with his Mercedes with the boot open, and cops on the second floor were throwing drugs out, and he was packing his thing, and he drove off, and they pulled him over and got him for drugs in the boot and whacked him into jail for
a
while.
Well, that was a bit of a setup.
It was a setup, yes. He was also a very good swimmer and he saved people from drowning at Newport Beach.
Wow.
And I used to go with my mate Pete down to the arms before he started punching people at night and get into a corner and just have a chat because, geez, he was entertaining.
Oh, he would be.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there was a bit
the
of...
The life he led in the
bit of lie, a few lies in there, but he went to a private school called Shaw, so he had a good education. He was just... Mm. But he was a... I think they coined the term Thugby because of him.
Right, yeah. There you go.
Yep, yeah, anyway, I'm going to run away now.
All right, will you
Sorry, I just wanted to ramble on for a bit of memory laning in 1972.
1972. But anyway, I don't recall any of that, so I would have...
No, well, you see, when you were 18, it was 1990.
Yes.
And by then, a lot of the corruption had been... cleared up.
Yeah,
that
had.
Yeah.
What was the police commission? What was that one?
Fitzgerald Inquiry?
The Fitzgerald Inquiry. Yes. Okay. That was close then, wasn't it?
It was.
All right. Well, we were saying goodbye, so I guess we better keep going.
All right, say goodbye.
Okay, hooroo.
Bye.